Sisters and brothers, there are moments in life that I think you can look back on and know shaped your life in some way, somehow. For me, one of those moments was October 25th, 1987. It was a Sunday, and it was a lot like other Sundays that I remember growing up. But on that day of the Lord, I became a Philadelphia Eagles fan. So let me set the picture for you. 1987, the NFL players had a strike, and 10-year-old me didn't know what that meant, right? But it really set the foundation for what happened that day. There were about 10 seconds left in the game, and the green team was winning. Right? That's who they were to me at that point, the green team. They were going to win. Now, in that situation, what you're supposed to do is get into what's called victory formation. By the way, that green team is responsible for victory formation. A little trivia for you. But victory formation goes like this. The quarterback will kneel the ball so that the clock can run out and everybody gets to go home. But on this Sunday, on the road to victory, the green team faked victory formation, and the quarterback, who they called the ultimate weapon, he threw a pass. There was a penalty on the pass, so they got one more play, and on the next play, they scored a touchdown. And everybody that was with me, they went wild. Not because they were excited or happy. They liked that other team, that other blue and silver team with the little thing on their helmet. Y'all with me? And they were all yelling, "That's not the way you do it." And I remember thinking, little 10-year-old me, that's pretty cool. And ever since then, well, you know. And 39 years later, the Lord has me up here to remind you that those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh, you know how the verse goes. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. Can you amen that? It's in the Bible, by the way. Amen. It's funny how one moment, one unexpected moment can shape a part of who you are and who you follow for the rest of your life. I didn't wake up that Sunday morning thinking to change my 10-year-old allegiance. I used to love the Oilers, love you blue. But it happened because that day, something caught my attention. I think I have your attention this morning. So, giving thanks to God, being in awe of the Word of God and all it means for us, can I please ask you to stand for the reading and hearing of the Gospel according to John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him. The one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. where are you going? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated anointed. And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, we pray for your blessing over our hearing now, that as we approach the throne of grace, that your spirit would speak to our hearts, remove anything that keeps us from knowing the truth you set before us today. God, we thank you for your word and for your spirit that abides with us. And so we pray and we trust in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. So in John 1, I don't think anyone woke up that day expecting to meet the Messiah. They had heard John had been out baptizing in the Jordan River, and so a lot of them were going out to see what was going on. A lot of people were being baptized as well. But then one day when John was out there, John with his locust and honey breakfast and his camel hair blazer, he looked out and he saw him. And he said, look! The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, that entire passage that we just read from John 1, it is full of good stuff. Can we affirm that? Amen. I'm going to ask you today, though, to think about that one statement. When you go home tonight, you can read the rest of that passage and reflect on it more. But for today, I want us to hold on to that one statement, that one proclamation from John. Look. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as you do that today for us, I'm going to ask you to reflect on two things. And the first is, pay attention to what you are focusing on. And the second thing I'll ask you to reflect and think on is, pay attention to what you are pointing to. Pay attention to what you're focusing on, pay attention to what you're pointing to. Scripture says that we walk not by sight, but by what? Faith. Now, when the Apostle Paul said that in 2 Corinthians, he was referring to not seeing the glory of new creation yet, but still trusting it, still believing it, still walking by the hope that it brings. What he was not saying is that we don't see things in the meantime, or that the things that we do see do not impact us. As a matter of fact, you all know this, we see a lot, don't we? Some of us would say we probably see too much, that we weren't created for the constant bombardment of headlines and tragedies and opinions and ads telling us what to want, or algorithms telling us who and what to fear. Listen when I say this, church. Our eyes are always being discipled. Every day, something is forming our hopes and our dreams, our anxieties, our anger, and even our desires. And I'm convinced that so much of what so many of us consume, it should come with a label. It should come with a label that says scam likely. Huh? How many of you before used to get all them phone calls? You used to get, oh, look, somebody's calling me. Hello? Yes, can I talk to you about your warranty? Oh, right? And you praise the Lord. You said, oh, they came out with this new thing that if it's a scam, it'll probably say scam likely. And when you see scam likely, what do? I ain't got nothing to do with that. Right? Turn it off. Don't even give it attention. What if we could do more of that with everything that we are seeing today? Realize that most of it's a scam. And if we could do the same thing and just put it all away, I tell you that because, sisters and brothers, You have to pay attention to what you focus on. Because your formation as a Christian, your formation as a human being, your formation will always follow your attention. Or as one wise saying goes, you get out what you put in. So I think it's misguided to ask yourself, am I being shaped? Me? I'm so strong-willed and smart. Moi? Yes, you. All of us are. So that the better question to ask ourselves is, by what? Or by whom are we being shaped? Sadly, we tell our children who are having so much fun out there, amen? Sadly, we tell them, be careful, little eyes, what you see. But we don't think that applies to us. So pay attention to what you focus on, because what you give your attention to will eventually give shape to your heart. Sisters and brothers, if you stare at the chaos all day, do not be surprised when the chaos starts living in your spirit. Do not be surprised when you slowly become more anxious, more bitter, more exhausted, more angry, more suspicious. I'm going to say less human, too. You know this. You've probably seen people who just, yeah. Be careful, because they might be thinking about you too. That's the point. Pay attention to what you pay attention to. Because we are being formed, whether we like to admit it or not. Now, we can give our attention to all the chaos and all the mess and everything that's angering us and everything that's before us that we think is wrong. Or we can give our attention to something else. That if we behold Christ, we can be shaped by something different. We can be shaped by mercy and love. We can be shaped by the compassion and grace of Jesus. And when we do, there is a faithful courage that comes over you that empowers you to take mighty and bold steps, things you never thought you could do before or never thought that you would be the one to be doing before. As we learn to behold Christ more, give our attention to the things of God more, your nervous system starts to calm and your hope, the hope of God, starts to rise within you. Not because the world suddenly gets easier to deal with. The world, it's still the world. Things are still happening. But what begins to happen is inside of us, something is being formed by a different reality, a different kingdom, if you will, a different kingdom that comes with a different power. That's what happens when we behold Christ. You don't think in John's day there wasn't political tension? Or there wasn't spiritual confusion? Of course there was. People had questions about what Rome was doing, about how not to be in trouble with the officials. They had questions about what God was doing. They were wondering what all this might mean. And then here's John, wild and crazy John. He sees God's holy direction coming. And you know what he says? Look! Because transformation happens with, transformation happens with attention. Y'all with me? So pay attention to what you pay attention to. Now, John could have saw Jesus coming and he could have started thinking to himself, there it is. I knew it. It's about to happen. Oh, I was right about everything. It's about to go down. These people don't know what's about to happen. But John didn't just look at Jesus, did he? What did he do? pointed to him. And I think, sisters and brothers, sometimes we fail to recall that our lives are pointing to something, just like John's did. I saw results this week from a survey, a 2024 survey, and the survey, among other things, it asked people who were once religious but weren't religious now. They asked this question: did you leave religion for any of these reasons? And it named a bunch of reasons. And here are the top three reasons that people chose. You ready for this? Religious hypocrisy. Religion doesn't make sense. And religious bigotry. Now, religion doesn't make sense. Here's what I want to say to that. You ain't lying. There's some things about religion that just irk me. I'll have from time to time people say, well, I've got problems with organized religion. You and me both, brother. But I want us to focus on those other two. And I want you to notice those other two. Those other two of the top three responses, they have to do with what we point to. Y'all with me? Religious hypocrisy and religious bigotry say Jesus, but they point somewhere else. They borrow his name, but they betray his way. And I got to tell you, sisters and brothers, it is wild to me that in the year of our Lord 2026, that I feel like this is something that has to be shared, that has to be repeated, and that this is something that once it's shared and that once it's repeated, there'll be people who'd be like, ugh, he shouldn't be saying things like that. It blows my mind that I should have to remind the church this. Jesus does not condone your hatred of other people. Can I say it again? Jesus does not condone your hatred, your annoyance, or your disagreement about things that really don't matter. Taking the Lord's name in vain is not getting up and saying, IGD. No, no, no. You want to know what the taking the Lord's name in vain is? It's attaching God's name to things that don't look like God's heart. That's what it means to take that name and to use it in vain, to make it something it is not. Taking the Lord's name in vain is baptizing hatred, bigotry, discrimination, greed, and control. And don't you know, there are Christians all over who are doing all kinds of things with the Lord's name. And too often, we in the church, we are just as guilty of pointing to things that are not true and then wondering why nobody trusts our witness. If I have to see one more fake AI story, meme, picture shared, that's it, somebody shared, they say, makes you think, doesn't it? No, it doesn't make you think. That's the point. You got Christians all the time pointing all this stuff out that do nothing but point somewhere else to Jesus. We keep doing it. What I'm going to ask you to be willing to do is think about John and think about what he says. Look, it's the Lamb. That's what we're supposed to be pointing to. Not all that other nonsense. That mess. We should be pointing to love and not fear. We should be pointing to humble service and not power grabbing. We should be pointing to grace and not exclusion. Just because you use Jesus' name does not mean you are pointing to Jesus. And the ironic thing is, sometimes it feels like the world seems to be able to better tell the difference than a lot of us. So pay attention to what you are pointing to. John pointed to the Lamb because in Jesus, we would see what God is really like. As we learn to see Jesus, as we have the history of the church and scripture with us, and we are able to sit down and study, we know all about the life of Jesus. We can see that in his life, in his ministry, in his death, and his resurrection and ascension, we can see the self-giving, merciful, compassionate, restorative, and faithful heart of God. That is what we see when we see Jesus. That's why John said, "Look!" So I think it's misguided to ask yourself, am I pointing? Me? Moi? Of course you are. We all are. The better question to ask yourself, to what or to whom am I pointing? Are we pointing to the scam-likely tricks of the world? Or are we pointing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? John pointed to the Lamb. And he would come to see, like hopefully we're all coming to see, that the Lamb of God is not a weapon. The Lamb of God is not an empire. It's not even a movement. The Lamb of God is the self-giving love of God in human form. And the Lamb shows us that God's answer to the brokenness that we all know and experience, the answer is not to try to dominate, but to trust in God's redemption. To trust in the work that God wants to do for all of the world. Think about this, church. How would things change if we, the people who are supposed to be giving our attention there and pointing there, what if we would decide that instead of hating or crushing our enemies, we would hope and pray and work for their well-being and healing? What would our hearts transform to if we stopped obsessing over power and control and look at me and how important I am, and instead outdo one another in showing honor? Don't you think things would change? I'm not making that stuff up, by the way. Some of you know it's here. So here's my encouragement to you. This might be a challenge to you instead. Pay attention to what is shaping your life. And pay attention to what you are pointing to. Before you scroll, ask yourself, is this forming me into love or fear? And before you speak or before you post, ask yourself, am I pointing people to the Lamb or to the chaos? That green team, John, it got me that day. It got me because I saw a surprising move. That's why it worked. Nobody was ready for it. I want to offer to you today that the surprise move of God is the cross. Because the cross was supposed to be a defeat. But what was supposed to be a defeat turned out to be the greatest victory love has ever known. It surprised the world. They thought if we could just kill them, all this would be done. But God said, surprise, here we are all these years later, still giving praise to God, still seeking to follow God, because that surprised the world. Some of us would rather take that and surprise the world a different way. But that's not what the Lamb of God did. That Lamb said, that doesn't belong over somebody's head. I belong against it. And because of that surprise move of God, we have life. We have forgiveness. We have the better way. Church, we have the keys of the kingdom before us. And so when your world feels loud, or it feels chaotic, or it feels like it's out of control, when you feel like everything is just pushing against you and you have no way out, it feels like everyone is so cruel, when you feel like the world is falling apart, remember John. Remember what John said. Remember who John pointed to. Look! The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is where true hope lives, and in whom the world is healed. And if we are willing to give our attention to the Lamb and point with our lives to the Lamb, you know what we do to the world? Surprise. We show them that indeed, this is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And that is who we follow. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.